Gungatrek SBS Hayrena.
Next week, Ashley Clegg and Blunt will launch her new book titled How to Be Australian. This is the second time Ashley is our program guest, and let's see what she has to say about her new book. Ashley, welcome to SBS Armenian.
Thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate it. My new book is a memoir, and it tells the story of myself and my husband moving here from Canada. And, you know, when we moved, we thought, oh, we're just going to stay for a year. And we ended up, we've been here 10 years now. And the book tells the story of trying to figure out how to belong in Australia. And part of that journey is learning particular Australian language. Part of it's learning just traveling the whole country. Part of it's learning particular Australian food. But also it's about being young and being married and just trying to figure out life in general.
So when you decided to move to Australia, was it for work reasons or something else attracted you to Australia?
My main motivation for moving here was actually the climate. My husband and I are from Winnipeg, Canada, which gets down to minus 40 Celsius in the winter. And it can be minus 40 for 3 months, some years. It can just be brutally cold. And so one winter, it was one of the worst winters I'd lived through. I decided when I finished university, I'm moving somewhere warm. And I was dating my husband at the time, and I told him this, and he didn't really believe me. But I convinced him. It took me 8 years to convince him to try living abroad. And so we came here for the climate. We thought, oh, it's going to be lovely. I actually came to do a master's degree just because I was looking to do that anyways, and there was a good program here in Australia. So that's why we thought we'd just be here 1 year. It was a one-year program. I had a one-year student visa. My husband was able to work. So we thought we'd just come and enjoy the beach and have a great time. And one thing we discovered when we moved here is that we had thought, oh, well, Australia is basically just hot Canada. It's the same basic place, just different weather. And that is not true. There are so many differences. The longer we live here, the more differences we discover. And that's been such a fascinating process. And that's why I wanted to write about it, is I find Australia such an interesting place.
So writing has always been your passion?
Absolutely. I had my first little short story published when I was in grade one. My school put together a book of student writing, and this little story I wrote was in there. And I think I was, 6 years old when I decided, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to be a writer. So my first book came out actually last year. It took a few decades for me to actually achieve that, but my first book came out last year, and I'm very proud of that book because that was the result of 10 years of research into the Armenian community, both here in Sydney and around the world. I spent 2 months traveling Armenia, researching, and also doing interviews with my family members about their Armenian culture. So that was my first book, which came out last year. My name is Revenge, and this is my second book now that's launching on the 1st of June.
And how was the book received by critics and the audience?
My Name is Revenge was received very well. I was really relieved. I had people like Professor Peter Stanley gave it a very kind review, and many readers, Australian readers, because I wrote that book for Australians. I wanted them to understand about the history of the genocide and about the Armenian community in Sydney and across Australia today. And I was so happy to have so many readers come to me afterwards and say, I knew nothing about this history, and I am so glad that I know it now. Thank you for introducing me to it, because that was my goal in writing it. And hearing readers tell me that made me feel really satisfied about the project.
I presumed it was received well, because in a year you are now publishing your second book.
Yes, and that was actually very helpful also. I'm publishing this book with a different publisher, with a larger publisher. So, I think it's a good sign for my career as a writer.
For our listeners who missed your first interview with Marie last year, a bit about you and your family history.
My great-grandparents on my dad's side were from Erzurum, and they ended up as orphans in Canada in 1920. And they were part of the community that built the first Armenian church in Canada, and that was in St. Catharines, Ontario. And that's where my dad grew up, and all his cousins and all his siblings, and a lot of the family spoke Armenian. But my dad was, you know, he was younger among the group of cousins. He was on the younger end. And by that time, the Armenian evening school wasn't operating anymore. So my dad didn't learn Armenian. Like, he knew a little, but he, by the time he grew up and left St. Catharines to join the military, he really didn't speak it at all. So I grew up all across Western Canada, you know, wherever the military sent my dad. And so I didn't have the opportunity to grow up with my Armenian family. And, you know, my dad introduced me to a few things, particularly food. Food was a big deal. Whenever my dad made Armenian food, that was a big deal in my household. But it wasn't really until we went to visit my dad's family for my grandfather's funeral, which was at the Armenian church and in Armenian, that I really realized, oh, wow, there's this whole aspect to my family that I know nothing about. And I was 14 years old at that time, and that was when I first got really interested. And that interest in that part of my family and my history has just grown every year since then. So I've done two master's degrees, and both times I wrote theses related to the Armenian genocide. And like I said, I'm really proud of that first book and what its goal was in terms of connecting Australians to part of their own history that so many of them are unaware of, in terms of the aid that was offered to Armenians and the Anzac diggers who, you know, witnessed the genocide or even saved lives there. I drew a lot on, obviously, Vic and Deb Kenyon and Peter Stanley's books about that history as well.
Actually, when you're writing, are you always motivated, or do you get a writer's block?
Writer's block so much. There's always projects that I'm keen to work on, but I do, with any particular project, I always hit a point where that project stalls, where I'm not sure what to do with it, or I've gotten frustrated, or I just don't know the way forward. And that's my problem, is that's when I'm always jumping to a different project. So I've always got four or five projects on the go. And so, like this book, for example, the new book, How to Be Australian, took me 5 years to write, partly because in the middle of writing that, I wrote My Name is Revenge. So that's an example of me jumping around, and also the reason why I have two books coming out in 2 years. So I don't know if I'd recommend that technique to people, but it does work for me. It just, I think in some cases, slows me down.
Does self-isolation help with concentration and creativity, or it has its drawbacks?
I think the initial drawback was the uncertainty about everything in the world. And, you know, were we safe? Were our families safe? And so that created a lot of anxiety. And I know for myself and a lot of writers and artists that initially the stress of that uncertainty made it very hard to get any work done. Now that things feel more settled, I think we're very lucky here in Australia that we're relatively safe, and I've been very lucky with my family in Canada that they're in relatively safe places. So I've found that I have been able to get more work done now. I think it's just a matter of when you're not going anywhere, you have so much more time. So I think that's actually been very productive for me, just staying at home. But I don't, you know, I wouldn't want to go on like this too long. I definitely am missing being out in the world and seeing people.
For listeners who are interested in writing and publishing their books, what's the best way to approach the publishing process? I know it's not easy to publish a book and can be frustrating.
Yes, publishing can be very difficult. And my best advice for that is to join your state writer center. So whatever state you're in, if you're in Victoria, Writers Victoria is a fantastic organization. If you're in New South Wales, Writing New South Wales, also a fantastic organization. And those state writer centers are putting on events to connect you with publishers. They want to help you understand the industry so you have the best chance of getting published. They put on events where publishers will actually come and talk. You can ask them questions directly. There's events where you can actually pitch to publishers. They do literary speed dating events. So connect with your state writer's center, find out what they're doing, and they will give you a pathway to figuring out the best way to get published.
So the launch of the book is next week?
Yes, the launch of the book is Monday, June 1st. It is online, so that means everybody can join wherever you are as long as you've got internet. It's online. It's at 6:30 p.m. It's free. You just need to RSVP through the bookshop. So the bookshop is Better Read Than Dead in Newtown. Of course, you can visit my website as well to find the link. So just RSVP. It's going to be held on Zoom, and it will be myself, author R.W.R. McDonald, who is a Melbourne-based author, and we're also inviting the koalas of Lone Pine Koala Sanctuary. The launch is in support of Lone Pine Sanctuary, and so the koalas will be joining us on screen. They're zooming in. We've got the koalas to figure out how to use the little webcam, so there will be some koalas taking part in the launch.
So it will be done on everything online?
Everything will be done online, absolutely. So you can kick back, have a drink, watch the launch, and hear a little bit more about the book, about the adventures behind the book. I'll be sharing some photos from Canada as well as from Australia, and just having a good time.
The book will be available after the book launch, because I tried last week to buy it online and it wasn't available.
Yes, the book should be in bookstores officially this week, and it will be available for purchase from the bookstore that's launching it. I believe they're still doing free shipping across Australia, so if you get it from Better Read Than Dead in Newtown, I believe they're still doing free shipping, so you can order it through them or from any bookstore across Australia should be able to get it for you.
The title is very simple and to the point. Was this your first choice or has gone through few revisions?
Actually, this project started from the title. So like many writers, I wrote a number of books before I got published. So I had a bunch of manuscripts, you know, sitting in drawers. And one of the manuscripts I wrote was about living in Korea, Peru, and Mexico, because I spent 3 years living abroad before I finally convinced my husband to move to Australia. And so I'd written this manuscript about those years, and I had an author read it and give me some feedback. And she said, oh, you know, this is really interesting. You could also write a book about Australia. And I thought, well, I don't have enough to say about Australia. I don't know what I would say. But the idea started ticking around in my mind. And then one day I thought, oh, I could write a book called How to Be Australian. And that's when the project really took off for me. I started just collecting notes on, you know, how to be Australian, just from talking to people and what I was reading and my experiences. And one day I opened that file and I realized I had 20,000 words just as notes about how to be Australian. So the title has stayed the same from the very beginning right up to publication.
What about the design of the cover? Looks, is that you? Looks, are you ready to go to the beach?
thanks. Yeah, the cover design is interesting. One of the myths about authors is that they get to choose their covers. I think if you're a famous author like Stephen King, you can probably choose your cover. But in general, the publisher has a cover designer, and they work with the cover designer to create the cover. So that cover was sent to me. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be me. I've never been a redhead. I'm very brunette. So I'm not sure if that's supposed to be me or not, but if it is, I'll take it. She looks like she's having a good time.
Yeah, and last question. What's the story behind the Full of Donkey story on your website?
Oh, so when I was traveling in Armenia, my first name's Ashley, and people couldn't pronounce Ashley in I guess in the Eastern Armenian language. They don't have that Ash sound. So it came out as Esh, which I was told means donkey in Armenian. Mm-hmm. And then I was also told that the Li sound means full of, or the suffix that means full of. Mm-hmm. And that may have been taken from Turkish, but that was, you know, this is the suffix. And so I was told while I was there that when people say Ashley, it sounds like they're saying full of donkey, which I just thought was hilarious. Mm-hmm. So I had written a previous manuscript one of my manuscripts sitting in drawers was a whole manuscript about traveling in Armenia and learning the history. And so I had called that manuscript Full of Donkey because I thought that was just a very entertaining way of showing that I was trying to learn things, but at the end of the day, I'm just full of donkey.
Ashley, thank you for the interview. It was nice talking to you and wish you all the best with your writing. And we're always ready to discuss your new books and projects.
Thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Կուզես լսել նման բարդություններ, կընտրե Apple Podcast-ի, Google Podcast-ի, Spotify-ի վրա, կամ որտեղեն որ podcast-ըդ կլսես։